It's time to get your week started with the Monday Mailbag, presented by Pedialyte. Hydrate and feel better fast. Here to answer all your Columbus Blue Jackets questions is Bob McGallagher.
I can't believe we're at the last Monday Mailbag of the regular season. I can't believe it. It seems like it just started, and now it's over. Well, not now. It's over tomorrow night when the Blue Jackets take on the Carolina Hurricanes at Nationwide Arena. When that game is over, the season is over. And the Blue Jackets can get into off-season work, which is going to be, well, it's going to be plentiful, what this team and this organization needs to do in the off-season before they go to training camp in September. For other teams, it'll be the start of the postseason. But for us, this is the final Monday Mailbag of the regular season. It is brought to you by Pedialyte. So thanks for being with me. If you haven't already sent me a question on X, formerly Twitter, you can do that right now at Bobby Mac Sports. If you are with me live on X Spaces and you want to ask your question live, well, you can do that too. Just request to be a speaker and I'll bring you up, and that's how we'll go about our business here this afternoon. So the Blue Jackets wrapped up a four-game road trip, and they did it on Saturday night in Nashville, wound up losing that game by the score of 6-4. It was a big night for James Malatesta. He scored his first National Hockey League goal in that game. It was a big night for Trey Fix-Wilanski. He had two goals for the Blue Jackets, and Alexander Texier had the other one. But the road trip ended with an 0-4 record. Blue Jackets were shut out at the start of it in Carolina, 3-0, went to Tampa, played a good couple of periods before the Lightning turned it on, and won that game 5-2, and then the Blue Jackets went into Florida, got shut out by the Panthers 4-0, and then lost 6-4 in Nashville. That's the way it went on the road trip for the Blue Jackets. So underwhelming when it came to results. It was much like the season, quite honestly. There were good moments. Like I just said, Malatesta getting his first NHL goal, Fix-Wilanski getting a pair of goals. There were good moments, but the results overall were not good. And that has been what this entire season has been for the Blue Jackets, unfortunately. There have been many good moments, but the sum of the parts has just not been good enough for this team as they get set to wrap up their season tomorrow. All right, I don't need to talk about it that much. I'll let you talk about it. We can do that. That's why I'm here, is to hear what you have to say and answer the questions that you have. So let's go right to it. Let's go live to X Spaces right now, where Jordan has requested to be a speaker and come on the show and ask his question. So, Jordan, welcome. How are you?
Can you hear me okay, Bob?
Miguel, yes, I can. Okay? Yep. Yeah.
I can't remember.
Can you hear me? I guess not. I guess Jordan can hear me. So, Jordan, hit it up again. We'll try it again here when you get reconnected. In the meantime, let's try Heather. Hello, Heather. This is not good. This is not a good start to the show here for the last show of the year. Heather, you need to unmute. And
I am here.
There you go. Okay. Go ahead.
All righty. I was not expecting to be next, but I jumped on because
you got to be ready. You got to be ready at all times, at absolutely any moment.
I'm just happy that you did this at one because I got to be at work at two.
I like to work around your schedule.
I was wondering, just the only question that I had at this point, because I'm sure you're going to get slammed with all the statistic ones and stuff like that, was what is your boldest prediction for the offseason?
My boldest prediction for the offseason?
Yeah.
that the Blue Jackets find a way to that they find a way to deal with the Elvis Merzlikins problem.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a bold prediction. I think that's pretty much common sense. But they've got to find a way to do it.
I will ask, have you heard anything about Tarasov's condition? Is he doing all right? Because I know a lot of us are really worried about him.
No, I haven't heard anything about it. They had a team picture today, and I believe that he was present in that. Elvis did practice coming out of that today, which was something different and something new. So, okay. But no, I don't. I look, as soon as he got hit like that, I figured where we were in the season, it was probably over for him. So I don't expect him to. I mean, I think he'll be fine, but I wouldn't expect him to be dressing tomorrow, if that's what you mean.
Right. I agree.
Yep. All right.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great summer.
Well, I'll keep on doing this. So I'm not saying goodbye. I'm just finishing it up today. But go get ready for work and enjoy.
Thank you so much.
All right. All right. So Heather started it off. Thank goodness that finally came around there, because I was starting to worry about how this whole thing was going to go. Let's go back to Jordan and see if Jordan can hear me this time, and if I can hear him, and if we can do that, we'll talk. Hello, Jordan. Look like an 0 for 2 right now. Looking that way. Jordan, going once, going twice, and... Oh, there you are. You got me?
Yeah, my Bluetooth in my car was acting really weird. You know what? I've been trying to get this thing worked on and had not been able to do it, so I do apologize.
Oh, you're fine. You made it in under the wire. You just beat the 3 count. It's like WWE. You kicked out, right, with like a tenth of a second left.
Yeah, I don't blame you. You know, my main question I'd rather ask is, who do you see as the new general manager since Yarmo's gone? Who would you like to see, like, maybe nominated as the GM as of for the offseason?
I don't have a name for you. I just want somebody that is going to come in with a true sense of direction and be firm in that direction. You know, if it's somebody that is not been affiliated here before, that's fine. If it's somebody that has some kind of a loose affiliation. Look, Matthew Darche is an assistant GM with the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they've had great success. And I know Matthew Darche. I like Matthew Darche, but he's never been a general manager before, so I don't know what kind of an NHL GM that he might be. There's Jeff Gorton, who is in Montreal. He's a vice president and an assistant GM, I believe. He was the general manager of the New York Rangers. He basically built that Rangers team that's on the verge of winning a President's Trophy this week. So that's a very experienced guy that maybe you could get to come here under certain situations. You know, there's Mark Hunter's name has been thrown around. I don't know him at all. I know he was in Toronto. I know he got passed over for Kyle Dubas when he was in Toronto. So after that experience, he just went back to running the London Knights, which he owns. But again, and I don't know him, but I just hope it's somebody that comes in with a plan and let's make it a no-nonsense plan and just go right after it. You know, whatever your plan is, dig in and start it from day one and have a true sense of direction, because with this, the organization is missing that right now. It's missing a sense of direction, and it's because you don't have anybody in that chair right now. You need somebody in there so you can figure out what the heck, where's everybody, what direction is everybody pulling the rope in here? So let's figure it out and go.
Right. Yeah, I get you. It makes total sense. And I mean, like you said, at least like for Tarasov, he deserves to recover after whatever injury he had. That just, I mean, when I saw when that happened, I was like, you know what? I mean, the refs didn't make the call on Engvall, who pushed Juracek into Tarasov. That's what really surprised me.
It wasn't a penalty.
Exactly.
I mean, it wasn't a penalty. I mean, it's an unfortunate accident is what it is, but it wasn't a penalty.
No, I get you. I mean, at least, like, for the good part, we know that, you know, Fantilli's going to return one day.
Fantilli skated today, by the way.
Man, I miss that guy. I wish I could meet him one of these times. I would. You know.
Yeah.
That guy's a good kid, though. I mean, I've seen good potential that he'll be back for next season. I got a couple other more questions for you, Bob. Now, with Patrick Laine, where do you see him? Like, do you see him back in Columbus, or do you think he'll become a free agent during the offseason?
Well, he can't become a free agent during the offseason because he has a contract. But
right.
If he is still, look, as long as he's in the assistance program, he's a part of the Blue Jackets, even though he's not allowed to be a part of the Blue Jackets. Right. Where do I see him if he comes out of that program? I think all bets are off there. And I think, you know, to be honest with you, I think that's another situation that might be looked at as far as, is this a good fit for him here? And I mean for him personally, and I mean for this team. Or is that another guy that maybe you somehow look to try to move on from because it's just not going to work here? I'm not sure where that's going to go, but I can tell you this, as long as he's in the player assistance program, you can have all the discussions you want to, and nothing's going to happen about it.
Right. No, I get you. I mean, you know, health always comes first. I mean, you can only do so much, but like I said, I hope that, you know, at least Boone's doing what he's doing. We missed the captain.
Boone practiced today, too.
That is a good sign, you know. Bless his heart. We're thinking about him and his family. And hopefully by next season, we will have a fresh start, though.
Oh, there'll be a fresh start. There's no doubt. No doubt, exactly. Jordan. Yeah, there's no two ways around that. Thank you. Thank you for being on with me today, Jordan. Really do appreciate it. If you're live on X Spaces and you want to come on and ask your question, you can do it. All you have to do is request to be a speaker, and I'll bring you up. And if you're A, paying attention, and B, your Bluetooth equipment is working, you can come right on. I'm just picking on you two. I'm just picking on you. All right, let me see what I've got here on X. Mark Correll says, it's the final countdown. The season is coming to a close tomorrow night. I've got three easy questions. What type of GM do we need? Older and experienced or younger and energetic? Name drop your faves. And does this person need to change the coaching staff? Okay, so the name drops were not necessarily my faves. The name drops were just different directions that you can go. There are a lot more out there than the three names that I mentioned, for crying out loud. There, and I'm sure there are a lot of, or there could be, under-the-radar people that I'm not thinking about right now, and then you would hear their name and look at their experience and go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. The guy whose name's escaping me, the assistant GM in Carolina, who's always in the talks when these general manager positions come up, you know, there's, what is his name, Eric Tulski? I don't know if I said that right or if that's 100%, but anyway, you know, there are a lot of people out there. And as I said, it's more of, to your question, Mark, do you need an experienced or younger and energetic? That's a tough one because I think you do need experience, but then again, younger and energetic with a lot of experience in maybe not a general manager role, but an assistant general manager role might fit the bill. So it would depend on the person for me. When you ask me that, if I just shoot from the hip and I go with what comes to my mind initially, my initial reaction is experienced. But, and John Davidson has said this in interviews that he has done, experienced to him doesn't necessarily mean experienced as a general manager. It can be experience in the front office in a different role other than GM, as long as you have some experience. But I think they do need that. Does this person need to change the coaching staff? That depends who the person is. Because if the person comes in with their own people in mind, then the answer will be yes. If that person comes in and meets with the current coaching staff and finds that they feel they can work together and that they're on the same page and their philosophies are together, then they don't need to make that change. But I can't even say it's likely. I'll just say, because it's happened here before, right? It happened when Scott Housen was let go and Yarmo got hired. Todd Richards did not leave as the head coach. He stayed. In fact, he stayed and did he not take the team to the playoffs? And before he took the team to the playoffs once, he wound up getting fired after that. So it doesn't mean just because there's a changing of the guard at the GM position that the coach is going to change. That's not hands down. Is it more than 50-50 probable? Yeah, I'd say it probably is. But it's not a guarantee. It's not something that has to happen right now just because there's a new general manager. Let's see. Cannon goes boom. says, what changes do you think need to be made to the roster? Would you change the medical and the strength coaches? I know everyone says they are freak injuries, but this is like the third season in a row. Might as well switch that up too. Would you agree? Okay, this one is tough for me. I'm just going to lay it all on the line for you, and I'm going to be completely 100% honest with you. The medical and the strength guys, I'm very close to, and I don't know if I can give you an unbiased opinion on that. That's the truth. I'm not lying to you. I mean, they're all great people, and I know what you're going to say because so many people say it. You go, well, there's a lot of people that are great people, but they're not getting the job done, and you need to get somebody to get the job done. So I get it. I understand. But these people, they have helped me through a lot of personal things. I spent a lot of time around them. I am I can't give you an unbiased opinion on that. I can't. Now, I can tell you, I can see where you look at it from the outside, and I can see where somebody coming from the outside could look at it, and they could look at man games lost, and maybe that's it. Maybe at the end of the day, that's all. And maybe they say, okay, it's been this many years, we've got to make a change just for the sake of making a change. I think that is entirely possible. But I can't sit here and answer your question and not give you a biased answer. And I'm just being honest with you about that. I'm not even going to lie. I'm not going to pull your leg about it. So I'm not going to. You know, they're my friends. I've enjoyed being around them for 15 years. And if they stay, I'll be happy for that reason, and for the reason that I feel that the new management feels that they're the right people. If they go, I'll be sad. I'll understand. It's all part of the business, but I'm just not going to sit here and lie to you and not tell you that, like, I can't do it without emotion. I just can't. So I'm just going to stay away from that one. I think I answered it without answering it. So I hope that resonates with you because I just don't want to lie to you. Simple as that. Also, do you think this season was more of a letdown than last season? I know we've seen players grow and develop, but it seems like there was more expectation going into the season. I don't mean playoffs, but better than 29th place. Yes, I do. I have. I don't know if I said it before on this show, but I've said this to people, especially on this last road trip. I said it to a couple of people I know. It seemed like when last season was over, it was so nice that it was over just because you knew that you were going to get one of Connor Bedard, Leo Carlson, or Adam Fantilli. So you knew that there was at least a brightness on the horizon. You were going to get a really good player because of where you were going to pick in the draft. And you knew that was going to be a starting point. But what we didn't know is kind of what you said. We didn't know that you'd get that player, and yet it wouldn't feel like a starting point. It would feel like you're right back where you were. So this is what I've been telling people. I thought last summer was the end of a bad season and the starting of something new. And what I feel like now is last summer was just a pause, and last season has bled into this season because so much of it feels the same. And now it feels the same without one of those types of players at where your draft position is going to be potentially. I know they say this is going to be a good draft and all that stuff, but they also say you've got Macklin Celebrini, who is the number one guy, and then you've got a lot of good guys throughout the top 10 or whatever it is. But anyway, it's been a letdown. I thought they'd be better. You thought they would be better. I was saying to people last summer and leading into training camp, don't expect this team to make the playoffs, but they should be in the discussion until the latter part of the season. And I really believed that when I looked at the roster and I saw what was happening. And, you know, then all of a sudden the coaching change comes 4 days before training camp opens. And then you feel like you're behind the eight ball before you even get going. And then it just goes into the ditch early, and you just can't pull it out. And before you know it, the season's over before you even get to the Christmas break. So, yes, I think in many ways this season has been more disappointing than last season has. And throwing on top of that, that you have to let go your general manager, and now you have to start over again at that position. I agree. I think this one is more disappointing than last. Finally, last question here is, will you have a mailbag next week? Yes, I will. We're going to just continue rolling with these for a while. So do not fear. We can talk about it. Even if the Blue Jackets aren't in the playoffs, we can still talk about playoff hockey, and we can still talk about what's going on in the league, and we can talk about the GM talk that'll be going on and all that stuff. So never fear. I will be here. Shane W. says, I see a number of fans wanting to be or wanting us to be a playoff team next season. I don't think you get there without trading some of our young players not named Fantilli or Chinnikov. What are your thoughts on this? Yeah, I could see that. Yes, I could see that. And, again, that's going to be a new general manager to come in and look at the roster and figure out what they like and what they don't like, what they where they feel they need to replace. I agree with it because, again, I think you have a lot of players that are very similar in their stature, in their skills, and you have a lot of, I think in some cases you have a lot of similar, if not the same player. And maybe you need to trade that out for more muscle, more experience, that kind of thing. So, yes, I would agree with you. I could see that. I could see that being the case. Let's go right back to X Spaces here and go live, and we'll go live with Lester, who is on the show. Hello, Lester.
Is my mic working?
Yes, it is. Congratulations. Sure. You're the first one to be right out of the chute. Perfect.
Yeah. I'm not going to get too critical here. This season is what it is. Bill Parcells, the football coach, always had a saying, that is, you are what your record says you are. And this has been a disappointing year. I think for me, the biggest surprise was we didn't get more scoring from certain players. I'm thinking about guys like Patrick Laine, Adam Boqvist, Alexander Texier. I thought those guys would bring more offense, and they did. Texier played better the last 6 weeks than he did the season as a whole. But I think going forward, you're going to see a lot of changes. I hate when people ask you questions and try to get you to criticize people you have to face every day publicly, which I don't think is good. But I think there's probably going to be a lot of change in regard to the coaching staff with a new GM coming in. I think a new broom will sweep clean. I know they probably hate to do that because that gives you, like, you know, four coaches in 3 years or something crazy like that. But at some point in time, they've got to figure out the right thing to do and go forward and do it.
Yeah, and to be fair, I appreciate what you said there too. But, I mean, people have the right to ask the questions. And I, you know, again, I'm closer on a personal level with a lot of these people, so it makes it more difficult. There's business and there's personal and all that stuff, and I'm cool with that. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. You make a good point. If when they make the change and somebody new comes in, if it means changing a coach, then just like with a GM, you got to get the right guy, right? Like, you can, yes, you can pay two coaches for next year as long as you have now put the right person in place for what you want to get done, and that coach is going to be there hopefully for a long time and get you a lot of success. That's fine. I mean, that's all part of the business. And if they do make a change, that's where it's got to go. It can't go, you know, you can talk about the four coaches in 3 years and all that stuff, and that's, you know, it's legit. But on the same token, you can't be hiring somebody and then replacing that somebody 2 years from now. You're looking for somebody that's going to be in there for a good 4, 6, maybe 8 year run. That's a lot in the NHL, but, you know, somebody that's going to be there for a while and get some results for you.
I absolutely agree, but I think the bottom line is, if I'm hired to be a general manager of a sports team, then my success is contingent on my relationship with my coach and him having the same philosophy that I have going forward. Mm-hmm. And that might be where the problem is. Pascal Vincent and his staff might not reflect what the new GM believes needs to be so. And that's where I think there could be an issue. But I will let it play out. I'm not here to say, well, I think so-and-so should be fired, because nobody gets on a podcast and wants me fired from my job.
Yeah. So, right. And it's easy, and it's so NHL to let's just fire the coach, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it really, this sport above all other ones is like, well, let's just fire the coach. And part of the reason is because teams do it all the time. Well, the message went stale. Out. I get it. I understand. But you're right. If your philosophies don't match right from the beginning, then there's no need to mess around. Then you've got to agree to part ways right then. And as a general manager, you got to go get somebody that you can work with.
Yes. Going forward, there's a couple of players I'd like to see them pursue in free agency. I would definitely kick the tires on, because I think Sam Reinhart's going to be available. I don't know if we can get him, but Florida's financial situation is just so it would be tough to bring him back, especially with all the guys that they have who are UFAs next year, people like Verhage and Ekblad and Bennett. It's going to be really hard for them to bring him back in. And I might pursue them about talking about a sign and trade, with the idea being, look, if you do this with us, you're going to control where he goes, and you don't have to worry about him going to Boston or some other rival in the division. That's just a thought on my part. But I would also take a long, hard look, if that's not possible, at Sean Monahan. I think he'd be a good fit here.
I like that one. I like that one a lot. I'll tell you what, that was a nice pickup by the Winnipeg Jets. There's a lot of upside to that, playing the center position, former teammate of Johnny Gaudreau. I like that one.
Yes. And then a couple of other guys, definitely. I mean, you can fantasize about it. Jake Gensel, it doesn't hurt to ask. If he says no, well, then it is what it is. And another guy who's interesting to me, especially when you consider that Provorov only has 1 year left on his deal, and this guy might be somebody you can get on a 2 or 3 year deal, is Chris Tanev. I like him. I like his defense. He leads the known universe in blocked shots with 207. He just does a lot of things that I like. He's not going to bring any offense, that's for sure. But the fact that we did not improve on the blue line this year, that was one of the issues we had, which that was kind of a product of the fact that we had problems with puck possession, winning faceoffs, winning battles along the wall, getting to loose pucks, and we would get stuck in our defensive zone for agonizingly long periods of time. And the longer that goes on, eventually there's going to be a breakdown. So I thought that was a major reason why we didn't improve defensively.
And I think Tanev brings something that this team doesn't, I was going to say doesn't have enough of, but I might be able to say doesn't have. Bite. This team doesn't have a lot of bite. I mean, it's, I don't want to use the word soft, because there are guys that play hard, but just overall that, where's that edginess? Where, you know, Torch used to always talk about playing with swagger. This team does not have any swagger. And you could say, well, they don't win. You can't have swagger unless you win. Yeah, but also you can't win unless you have some kind of swagger, right?
Well, players today are different. I mean, I don't know how long you have seriously watched hockey, but I mean, I think back over the years, I've been watching since the 70s and 80s, and I look around and I say, where are the Doug Gilmores? Where are the Wendell Clarks? Where are the Lanny McDonalds?
Yeah. Forget that. Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah, where are these guys? If you had more players like that, those kinds of players, I think a lot of times that's what Toronto's missing. They need players like that to fill out that roster, and they can't find them. So if you could get a guy like Tanev, he only made, I think, $2.5 million this year. He's 31 years old. You could probably get him in an interesting deal. Another thing I would try to approach is an idea of maybe trying to move a bad contract for a bad contract, maybe trying to send Elvis to Florida and keeping $2.5 million and taking Spencer Knight off their hands. They've got that Anthony Sollers, or however you say his name, he was the backup goalie this year, and right now he qualifies. He leads the league in goals against and save percentage, believe it or not. But he's 30 years old. He's a journeyman. He's been around 10 years, and he's also a UFA, and this is his chance to go out and get a big contract and probably go somewhere where he has a chance to be a number one goalie. So I don't know that Florida can keep him. So I think I could probably try to interest them in Elvis and doing a deal like that, and we could be free of that contract.
Yeah, well, they're going to, I guarantee you, whoever gets that job is going to try to do something creative with that to make a move with it. They have to. They've got to make a move with that contract and get that situation solved. I agree with you on that.
Yeah. Last couple of things, I'm going to let you go. Playoff predictions, I believe that Washington will get the last spot in the East. It's just a hunch. I think one team that's kind of didn't get a fair shake was Detroit. They're in Toronto Saturday night, so they're going to go through customs going in and go through customs coming back. Montreal comes in to play them tonight. Then they got to turn around and go back to Montreal tomorrow night and go through the customs thing again. I don't understand why they didn't just leave them in Canada and have them go to Montreal instead of going through all that travel. I don't like the fact they did that to them. And the schedule maker was nuts this year.
Because the people that make the schedules have never traveled in the league. I'm telling you. I don't know where, you know, what you just said is common sense. And I can really appreciate it because I do it. But I don't know what they think when they look at that. And I don't know how somebody doesn't say, whoa, hold on a second. This is not right. Although, you know, you don't know at that point they're going to be battling for a final playoff spot like that. We were talking on this trip about the fact, could you imagine if the Blue Jackets were one of those teams that was battling for that last spot and you had to take that last trip to Carolina, Tampa, Florida, and Nashville? What a gauntlet that would have been to go through. But not like going to Canada and clearing the customs twice like you're talking about. So I guess the schedule maker would say, well, that was just random bad luck. But this was the goofiest schedule I've ever worked in this league.
Yeah. And I'm going to take the Dallas Stars to beat the Rangers in the Stanley Cup Finals. To me, I think the Dallas Stars are the best team in the league right now. I like a lot of the things they do. They have 9 players on that roster right now, 50 points or more. Thomas Harley has 47 and 2 games to go. He could reach 50. That's 10 players with 50 points, and 3 of them would be defensemen. That's crazy.
Yeah.
They got 7 players. 7 players above 50% in the faceoff circle. And I'm not talking about guys that took 50 draws. These are all guys that have taken several hundred draws. And they've got 5 guys on the roster with 100 blocks, 100 block shots. And one of them, Tanev, is the league leader with 207. They just do so many things well. Puck possession, they're 3rd in the league in scoring. I think that roster is absolutely built to win the Stanley Cup. The only thing that I think could stop them is right now that last spot in the West. The Kings have 1-point lead over Vegas for 3rd place out there in the Pacific Division. And if that holds true, then they're going to have to play Dallas, will Vegas in the first round of the playoffs. And that is going to be a brutal series because Vegas is the one team I think that could stop Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially, and they're getting their guys back now. Mark Stone's practicing again. But you're right about Dallas. I watched their game the other day. And remember, we haven't seen them live since early in the year. So, you know, I look at the scores and I watch the highlights and all that stuff. But I sat and I watched their game the other day, and they are strong. And the guys that used to be the strong guys on that team are Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin. Those guys are relegated to bottom 6 roles as you've got those young players that have really taken over there. And you're right, they're impressive. They can roll 4 lines, they can roll 3 pair of D. And then, and I always come back to, you know, goaltenders, and, you know, that's one of the first things I look at. Just with Carolina, I always say, no, Freddie Anderson, I don't see him winning a Stanley Cup. Jake Oettinger, yeah, I think this guy can win a Stanley Cup. No doubt about it. That, I think they are strong from the goal all the way out to the forward position. I agree with you.
I think Oettinger is good enough to dominate a 7-game yep. series.
100%.
Another thing about Anderson you got to look at is he's had that circulatory issue this year. He's only playing in home games, and usually when you have circulatory issues like that, doctors will not let you fly because that is conducive to developing blood clots.
Yeah, I wish him nothing but the best health-wise, but even at full health, I've never counted on that guy to win a Stanley Cup. And there's other guys like that that are going to be in the playoffs. But then again, I will think back to the Chicago Blackhawks, and I remember when they won their first cup, and everybody said Antti Niemi is the goaltender. They're never winning a cup with him as a goalie, and they did. And then Corey Crawford came along, and they said they're never going to win a cup with him being the goalie, and he won two. So I guess you never know. It's all how the team's playing in front of you in the playoffs, but you're right. But you got to steal some games, and Jake Oettinger is a guy that I feel can steal games.
Yep. All right, I'm going to let you go. It's been great talking to you, and hopefully we'll get to talk a few more times before the summer hits.
Oh, yeah, we're going to. I'm still going to be here and do this. We can break down the playoffs.
Yeah, just maybe your Pirates will stay on a roll.
Yeah, maybe. That's what I always say, maybe. Last year, my son was sending me updates all through April. I said, send me the updates in July. By July, he wasn't talking about them. So we'll see what happens.
Hey, here's your Pirates fun fact of the day. No player in the history of the team's ever worn number 33.
Really?
Really. Huh. I'll tell you why real quick, and we'll go.
Wait a minute. Go ahead.
Honus Wagner, when he played for the Pirates, players didn't have numbers then. The Yankees were the first team to have numbers in 1925, and players were assigned their numbers according to where they hit in the batting order. That's why Ruth wore 3 and Garrett wore 4. Okay, so the Pirates didn't add numbers till 32. Well, when Wagner retired in 1917, he became a coach for the Pirates. And when they added numbers in 32, they assigned him the number 33. And he had that number till he died in 1956. He died in the job. And so they retired the number after he died. And so the number's retired, but no player ever wore it.
Well, and it's funny you say that, because that's what I was going to say before you started the story. I was like, is that number retired? I remember when they used to have them displayed on the wall, and I thought it was there. So that makes total sense. But I didn't know that that it came around when he was a coach, and that's how he got it. So, well, thank you for the fun fact. It's always good to learn something.
Have a great week.
All right, Lester, thanks. See, I learned from you. Hopefully you learn from me. Hopefully you learn from me. Let's go back to X Spaces Live and take Donald to be next up on this Blue Jackets Monday Mailbag presented by Pedialyte. Hello, Donald. Uh-oh, not again. Not another technical difficulty. Donald, are you with me? What is it with this show? Are we being censored by the government or something here today? I don't know what's happening. All right. Let me see. Donald, one more time. If not, I'm going to have to ask you to reset. I think I am going to have to ask you to reset it. Let's see. Let me try Donald again here. We're going to see if we can reset and if we can go. There you are, Donald.
Sorry about that.
No, hey, no worries.
Yeah. So, you know, the season is what it is. A little negativity, which is to be expected. But just to kind of maybe end things on a more lighter note, who on the team has been your brightest spot, whether it's like a comeback player or some of the exceeded expectations? Who would you pick as like, hey, I kind of feel good about this guy, and it's nice that he was here to kind of break up the dreariness of the season that was?
Okay, well, those are two different things that you're asking here. As I listen to you keep asking here, I'll answer. We were talking this morning about most improved player. We were kind of batting that around, and Cole Sillinger's name gets into that conversation because I think he's had a great year. But when you talk about, you know, who was nice to have here because they kind of brightened up a bad situation, I think another guy that you can argue got much better this season is Matthew Olivier. And he's a great person, and I've had some great conversations with him over the course of the year. So that's who I'm going to go with, is Matthew Olivier on that.
That makes a lot of sense. He's definitely a character guy for the team. Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, you know, the tough guys are always the nicest guys, right?
Sometimes it works out that way. I think Gudbranson would be in that category as
no,
well.
No, right? He is. He's right. And you know what? In Gudbranson, Olivier, Werenski, Jenner, old school guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the game is changing. Like Lester was talking about, you don't find those, you know, those tough and hardcore players so much anymore, and I think there's numerous reasons for that. I mean, the amount of money has to do with you know, some of that, and guys are not going to sell themselves out and get injured for all the big money that they're making now. Also, and from the time you start as a kid now, I mean, you don't hit nearly as much as you used to and all that stuff, right? So, you know, people talk about, you know, fighting coming back into the game, and that, you know, this year there's been a lot more of it. Yet the Quebec Major Junior League eliminated fighting. So where, you know, that starts happening, where are you supposed to go find these guys? But anyway, that's a different tangent that I'm on. But, yeah, Matthew Olivier, Eric Gudbranson, they've certainly been two great guys to have around this year in leaders. And, I mean, Gudbranson already was, but I think Olivier has molded himself into a leader. The more playing time that he got, the better that he got with the more playing time, gave him a bigger voice in the dressing room, and I really enjoyed watching his growth in that department. I knew he could play hockey. Actually, I didn't know how well he could play hockey, but he can play pretty well. He's penalty killing now. He's, of all the people that got a chance to get more ice time in different situations, nobody, in my opinion, has made more of it than Matthew Olivier has.
Yeah, no denying that. And I'll just throw one last name. A bright spot for me, I think you've got to look at Tarasov, especially before he got hurt those last 2 months. I think there's definitely reason to be excited for next year with him.
Yeah, the only reason I didn't count him is because there's always an excitement about him. He just has to stay healthy. I mean, he's not a surprise mm-hmm. to me when he's playing well. He's supposed to play well. He's supposed to be great. But he's just hurt too much. And the last one was a freak thing. I get it. That one's not his fault. But, you know, some of the other ones, he's just got to stay healthy. If he stays healthy, he's not going to surprise anybody. He's going to be a bright spot for a long time.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thanks for taking my call. You have a great day.
All right, Donald, thanks. You too. Blue Jackets tomorrow night. Carolina Hurricanes, Nationwide Arena, 7 o'clock puck drop. Final game of the season for the Blue Jackets. For the Carolina Hurricanes, they are getting set to go to the playoffs and battle their way through the Metropolitan Division and beyond. Let's go back to X Spaces here and talk to Troy, who is next up on this Blue Jackets Monday Mailbag, presented by Pedialyte. Hello, Troy.
Hey, Bob. How's it going? I wanted to talk about the grit that you feel like we're missing.
Yes.
And I agree, in general, we are missing that. But there's a few players that I think show it consistently. And one of them, which... on the topic of players that have been a bright spot and are fun, James Malatesta. I mean, every game, this guy's just hitting the crap out of people. I love it. And the truth of the matter is, like, when you watch the games and he hits it, once the game gets about the mid to back end and all the players in the other team realize, they're like, okay, this guy's finishing his checks every time. Like, I'm just going to quickly, like, get it off the boards. I'm not going to try to turn and make a real play because this guy literally just tries to put people through the wall. I think it makes a big difference, and I love watching him. How do you feel about him?
I think this guy has been recognizable in every game that he has played since he got called up from Cleveland. I think everything you said is dead on. I said this morning, sitting at practice, I was talking with Aaron Portsline of the Athletic, and I said, that guy, pointing at Malatesta, should be on this team next year. Fourth line role, third line role, he could play either one of them. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I've noticed him in every single game that he's played in. I was so happy for him to get that first goal in Nashville the other night. He competes. And that's the kind of bite that I was talking about. And look, we've got guys like Boone Jenner plays with an edge and Justin Danforth plays with an edge. But, you know, this is what you were talking about. When number 67's on the ice, you better know where he is. If you're on the ice at the same time as him, you better know where he is. Because if you don't, you're going to say, who just drilled me into the glass? And it's going to be him. So I do like his play. I like the way he does things. And I think I talked about this last week with him. I think what has given him a bit of an advantage in coming up from the American Hockey League, unlike your Carson Myers and Brendan Gaunces, who have played well, but when they're playing in Cleveland, they are asked to do one thing. When they're playing in the NHL, they're asked to do another thing. For James Malatesta, he's asked to do the same thing, no matter which league he's playing in, and that is to play like he plays. Play hard, finish your checks, and... that's all he's done. So you're right. I absolutely love the guy. I love how he plays. And, you know, I think he should have a place here, quite frankly. He'll have to battle for it in training camp. I get that. But I don't see if he keeps on doing what he's doing, how he doesn't make a great case for himself.
So another player, and this is about to sound nuts, but you have to bear with me. Dmitry Voronkov has edge. If you push him, he goes nuts. But I will say this. I've noticed that, like, a majority of his penalties are just, like, silly stick infractions and stuff. Hear me out here. If he's going to the box, why not just intimidate people? Like, swap those, like, hookings and trippings out with some roughings and some boardings. Like, I know it sounds crazy to even say that. But, like, that man is terrifying. No one really wants to fight him. We saw him fight Jack Eye. I mean, he's freaking huge. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if someone tells him, can you try to intimidate more people? Like, I mean, that guy's could really play on the second line, I believe, with his skill level. We've seen he could play with every level of player from like fourth to first line. And just like, if someone just tells him to like let loose and go after people, I feel like he'd be even better, to be honest.
I'm just surprised that you're almost apologizing to me for even bringing up such a thing.
Yeah, I mean, Bob, there's a lot of people on X, formerly known as Twitter, that don't like when players do that stuff. But the truth is, it's hockey, and like, you have to be assertive.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure you know where I stand on this.
I know we agree with this.
Yes,
I know.
I 100% agree with you. And I'm not saying, you know, hey, if you're thinking about tripping a guy, I'd rather you just give him a heavy cross check right in the lower back. I'm not saying that. And I know you're not saying that either. But yeah, use what you have. And what he has is an intimidating presence about him, right? And yeah, play harder. Maybe that's not the way to put it, but play tougher. Don't be afraid to play with a little bit of an edge. Don't be afraid to be a little bit dirty out there. Because if he would do that, what he's going to find is, even though he's a big guy and he can create room for himself, man, he's going to have a lot more room because nobody's going to want to get near him.
Yeah, I agree with that overall. And I just think, like, and we've seen it, anytime someone pushes him first, he will like retaliate zero hesitation. But he's not the guy to go out in the first shift and just put someone through the wall first. Because we saw like when Trouba tried to mess with him and he just sat him down. And then Trouba was just like, okay, I'll just make sure you don't touch the goalie. I'm not going to try to fight this guy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Like, and now, in all fairness,
things like that.
Now, in all fairness, though, if he becomes a guy that goes out and, you know, he's going to look to put somebody into the wall early in the game like that, you got to be careful too, because with his size, he becomes an easy target for referees. And if, you know, so you got to watch, there's got to be a balance there. You can't go out and take a penalty early in a game or take what would be a bad penalty because they're watching you now and they know.
And I agree. The big guys rarely get the benefit of the doubt.
No, never.
I mean, I remember I was watching a Winnipeg game like last month, and Brendan Dillon just like stood his ground, was truly in the right position. He was like 9 inches taller than the guy. He didn't elbow him in the face. It's just he's 9 inches taller than the guy. His elbow was the height of some guy that got called up from the AHL who's 5'9". He gets booted from the game. He obviously wasn't trying to elbow him in the face. He's just bigger. Stuff like that happens. But what I mean is if Voronkov can play a Tom Wilson-like game, just a pest-esque game, because we can already see he could score on the net.
Right.
I feel like he'd be optimized if he was an antagonist.
Yeah, I agree. I can't believe that there are people on social media that don't like that. Really? Is that true?
Bob.
They don't come up on my timeline. Can you believe it?
Oh, I follow all the fighting pages too, but you know sometimes in that For You page, there's always one or two things thrown in there where you're like, how does this end up on here?
My algorithms know better than to send me that crap.
And one last thing, I wanted to say this, although it's very early in his development, but David Yurecek, I love how hard he competes. And the truth is, he takes risks, and sometimes they don't pay off. We've seen this a bunch of times, but like he, at the beginning stages, I'm not saying his current form. I'm saying like when this player, Rasmus Dahlin, was in his first few years and struggling, everyone would just say, you see him take these risks. So sometimes it pays off and it looks unreal, and sometimes it looks like he's having a brain fart. And then eventually they come through, and I really just applaud how many risks Yurecek takes. And when he makes those slick plays behind the net and really tries to absorb the pressure for a breakout and stuff, I'm like, oh my God. When he successfully performs these things, he's looking fantastic. And I think he's another guy that likes to compete because he's another one where he knows he's younger and he will instantly retaliate if anyone pushes him around. And I really admire like that part of his game, but obviously he has to develop the consistency. Do you see this competitive part of him too? Or is it just me? Cause my family's Czech and I'm really biased.
No, I see the competitiveness. I just see a guy that has to work on his skating a little bit more. You know, they always talk about David and his gap control. He's got to work on his gap control. Well, it's his, you know, the skating and the pivoting. As soon as he gets better at that, and that's one of the reasons they had him back in the American Hockey League, when he gets better at that, I think he's going to be really good. There's no doubt about it because he's got the intangibles. What he's lacking at the moment are things that you can work on. And, you know, as the saying goes, you can't teach heart, right? So he's got the competitiveness. He's got the heart. He just has to work on some of the technicalities of it so that he can put everything together into one package.
Yes, I totally agree. And there's one thing that I want to say before I go about him. In the last tournament that he played in, I think a lot of people saw, like, there was a game winner in the semifinal that he had, and he literally just jumped into the bench like a crazy man. And I love that stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think those guys are the people that have to stay around because when you slowly get guys like Marchenko loves to be around here, Boone Jenner, Werenski are consistent, players like him that are just like so into it that it really like gets everyone on the same page. You know, Malatesta throwing hits the fourth line with real identity. Like, once everything gets consistent and well-rounded, I feel like there's going to be a really bright future for this team.
Yeah, there is. And that's what it is. When it gets consistent and well-rounded, and some of the pieces that are here are going to have to move out for some other pieces to come in to make it more well-rounded. And some of us might like that. Some of us might not like it. But at the end of the day, that's what's going to happen, but eventually it'll settle on a group where it is going to become consistent and it's going to get good again. So I hope that's soon. We all hope that it's soon, don't we?
Yes, of course. I think we're a year or two away, but realistically, I'm super excited. And based off of the talent depth we have, the new GM's going to have a lot to work with. Thank you for having me, and thank you for having me, especially on this final regular season show.
All right. Have a good next week, I'll have you on the first postseason show. All right,
it's
thanks.
An honor.
All right, we'll see you. Have a good day. Let's go back to X here, where Dave says, what is your impression on how the leadership group for the players have done this season? Do you anticipate any changes being made this offseason with regards to assistant captains? I don't. I mean, look, I'm assuming everybody comes back on the roster. But no, I'm not looking at any changes on that because you've got Boone and Zach and Corrali and Gudbranson. You know, those are all very good leaders. So I don't see any of that changing unless one or two of those guys were moved out, which, again, I don't see happening. So I don't see there being any changes with the leadership group. But again, the leadership group is not just the guys that have the letters on the jerseys. It's other guys, like I was talking about with Matthew Olivier. Matthew Olivier has played himself into being a leader on this team. And he has done that just because of his good play. And, you know, he holds other people accountable. And how do you argue with Matthew Olivier about being accountable, because he is when he's on the ice, and when he screws something up, he'll be the first guy to tell you that he screwed it up. So, you know, all in all, I think the leadership is, I think it's fine. Is it as vocal as it needs to be? I don't know. And I hesitate on that because I know I've said this before and I'll say it again. I remember back in the early 2000s when Joe Torre was managing the Yankees, and, you know, when people would get upset with the Yankees, you know, they would lose two in a row and it was the end of the world coming, and people would jump on Joe Torre. When I say people, I mean, you know, I worked at a sports radio station And I was doing AAA baseball, but we also carried the Yankees. And I would hear people talk all the time. And they're always mad at Joe Torre. Joe Torre doesn't look like he's fired up enough. He doesn't look like he's really into it. He's just there, and he's quiet all the time. And he doesn't really seem like he says anything in the dugout. But you know what? Leadership is not about yelling and screaming. It's just about, you know, having the respect. And you can be a soft talker, but when you do talk, your words have to carry a lot of weight. And I think that's where the Blue Jackets are with their leadership. You know, Sean Corrali is not a, well, at least on the outside, is not a loud guy. But you know, when he talks, his words should carry a lot of weight. I mean, he's got a lot of experience in this league. He played a lot of years in Boston with a lot of great leaders. He learned a lot of things that he's brought back to his hometown organization here. I think Eric Branson last year kind of just sat back to an extent and just tried to figure out what's what, who's who, and now he is far more active when it comes to that kind of stuff. You know, Boone is the kind of guy, you're not going to hear him give rah-rah speeches, and you're not going to hear him yell and scream, but what you're going to see is a guy that plays a hard game each and every day. He's a lead-by-example guy. You know, Zach, same way. He's not going to knock you over with his powerful voice that he's, you know, screaming in your face or anything like that, but he's going to get his message across. I think he's really learning to be a leader now. So I don't see that changing. As long as all those people are still here, I don't really see any changes in the leadership group for the Blue Jackets. But that group is going to play tomorrow night. They're going to be on the ice one more time at Nationwide Arena. They'll take on the Carolina Hurricanes, and a game that starts at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. So hope you can make your way out to the arena and watch the Blue Jackets one final time, because every team changes during the offseason. Even the best teams change during the offseason. Heck, the Tampa Bay Lightning was winning back-to-back cups, and they were still coming back with not quite the same group the next year. They went to 3 cup finals in a row. Not quite the same group. There were always people dropping off. So that always happens, where you never quite have the same team from one year to the next, but from this year to the next, who knows what kind of team you're going to have? Who knows how many of those players that you might see in a Blue Jackets uniform again? And it's all because of the uncertainty at the top and who the general manager is going to be and what direction the franchise is going to go in and whatever that person thinks may need to be done to get things going in the right direction. Maybe there's somebody that you could never see being moved out that is moved out because that's what this person feels that has to be done. So my whole point is, come and see the group one more time tomorrow night as they take on the Carolina Hurricanes at Nationwide Arena. It'll be a fun night. It'll be a good night. It'll be a sad night in some regards, because even in the worst of seasons, when you're not in playoff contention, you know, for me, it's easy to look at it from one standpoint and say, boy, I'll be glad when it's over, because I'm just the losing has been enough. And then the other part of you says, yeah, well, it also means you're not going to do another game until September. So you're going to have to wait months before you get a chance to do it again. So there's always a flip side to it, right? So we'll all miss it. We will all miss it. But there will be so many things going on in the off season this year to kind of keep us busy, I think. You know, I'm pretty sure when I say that there's going to be plenty to keep us busy in the off season. But the off season doesn't start until the final horn sounds tomorrow night between the Blue Jackets and the Carolina Hurricanes, and hopefully the Blue Jackets can put on one more good show in front of the home crowd tomorrow. And that's what we all are hoping for. That's what we all want to see. Well, as I alluded to during the show a couple of times, we'll keep doing the Monday Mailbag presented by Pedialyte into the off season, because there'll be plenty of things to talk about here with the roster, with the general manager, and who knows what else. But there'll be things to talk about, and then we can talk about the playoffs as they're going on, and you know, get your feedback. We talk about whatever you want. That's what I do every week when I come on here. We talk about whatever you want. So you can set the tone, and I'll follow. Or if you're not in a tone setting mood. I'll set it and you could follow, but we'll continue to do it, and we'll continue to have fun, and we'll continue to hold on to that hockey spirit, even though the Blue Jackets won't be playing on a regular basis. So that is going to do it for this Blue Jackets Monday Mailbag. It's been presented by Pedialyte. Thanks for being on with me today, whether you asked your questions live, whether you just sent them to me on X, which you can do anytime at Bobby Mack Sports. However you were involved, maybe you just sat and you listened the whole time, that's fine too. Maybe you're listening as a podcast right now. Hey, thank you for being there, as always, just as you have been throughout this entire regular season. Until the Blue Jackets take on the Hurricanes tomorrow, I'm Bob McElligott. So long.